Appreciate Brother Ken putting confidence in me, letting me fill this pulpit. Don't take it for granted. And pray that the Lord touch somebody's life tonight and change your life. You got your Bibles now. Let's just go ahead and get in the Word of God in Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. Y'all can go ahead and chill out. I ain't preaching on tithing. I know y'all drawed up. Y'all can relax now. I promise you, if you'll help me preach tonight, it won't be no long, boring Sunday school lesson type. And it can be if you don't help me. Amen.
Amen.
Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6. Good reminder to us. And I'm in the wrong book. Hold on, man. I'm where I got to be in a little bit. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6. I know what I'm doing, I promise you. Devil ain't too happy about what we're going to be preaching tonight, I promise you that. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone astray away from mine ordinances." I'd like to say there's a pretty vast difference these days between God's ordinances and man's ordinances. We got a set of rules in most of church houses now that didn't come out of this book that man created. And God would have us to return unto His ordinances. For we have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? You may be seated tonight. I'm going to flip over now where I was at to start with. And I want to read from Jeremiah chapter number 2, verse number 11. It says, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And if the Lord help me now, I'm going to preach a message. Something I've never done, Brother Ken, that I remember. The same message I preached this morning. It's a little outline that I did in a preacher's meeting, I guess 3 years ago here. And the thought tonight is you can keep the change. You can keep the change. You know, we need to quit changing the Word of God and let it change us. I think we're living in a day now, we're living in a modern day, and I'm not here to gripe and complain and rail and about everything. We'll get there in a little bit, but we're living in a day where everybody's trying to change the church. Instead of letting the church change the world, they're bringing the world in and trying to change the church. A group of lost church members figured out, Brother Ken, that they couldn't understand the King James Bible, so now they've got 1,000 perversions out there. I'm not just trying to be mean about a Bible, but you're looking at a man that's got a high school education, 1 year trade school, and you can tell by looking at me and talking to me and just watching me that I'm not a genius by no means, and I have no problem whatsoever understanding the King James Version Bible. I've checked into the other versions. I've yet to find one yet that didn't change it around. I tell you what, there's a whole lot of difference between a house with many rooms and a house that's got many mansions in it. I just don't have any use for it. And I'd like to say tonight, and I'm not being political tonight. I know some of y'all probably think, well, you're throwing off on our president. Because he came in with an attitude of changing everything. And, you know, he's pretty much changed everything. Amen? And maybe changed even more so in a few more days. I don't know. But he's pretty much brought on a lot of change. But I don't want to get there tonight. I don't want to be political, but I do want to preach on this thought tonight. You can keep the change. I want you, first of all, three things that I'm done. Number one, As a country, we're changing. The United States of America as a country You know, we're changing our potentate. We used to be one nation under God. One nation under God. And I've had people argue with me and tell me, well, you can't tell me Christianity is the only way you're going to get to heaven. You can't tell me that Christianity is the only true religion. And they say, well, our country was formed by deists. And that's what that means, is that's people that believed in God. Didn't necessarily believe that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the light. Now, I just happen to have my old U.S. history teacher tonight here tonight. He's going to be a little proud of me. Done a little digging, a little studying tonight. Y'all ever heard of a couple of men called John Adams and John Hancock? Y'all ever heard of them? They said this right here. They said, we recognize no sovereign but God. And see, most people leave out this second part. And no king but Jesus. Now you tell me how we're supposed to put up with Muslims, Buddhism, and Hinduism and all the other religions. They did not create this country. You young children, listen to me. I don't care what they teach you in school. This country was not created for freedom of religion. It was created for freedom for us to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's called Christianity. It wasn't created where everybody can worship anything they wanted to. It was created for Christianity. It was created for Christians. It was created so we could have churches, so we'd have freedom to worship, and we didn't have to worry about what our children are being taught at this house, schoolhouse. Another man, Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton began to work with Reverend James Baynard to form the Christian Constitutional Society to help spread over the world the two things which Hamilton said that made America great. And I got news for y'all, it's still the only two things that makes America great. Number one is Christianity. Number two is a constitution formed under Christianity. The Christian Constitutional Society, its object is first the support of Christian religion. The support of Christian religion, not the support of religion. I know some of us here, we need to be educated a little bit, realize this thing. Listen, Patrick Henry, I'm sure y'all heard of him, had you? Some of you been a long time, just like me. I'm sure Coach Prater back there remembers all this. Patrick Henry, he was the orator of the Revolution. I don't doubt in some of y'all's lifetime we may have another revolution going on in this country. Don't mean to paint a black picture for you. It's actually a good picture. I'll get there in a little bit. Amen. I'm not preaching doom and gloom tonight, but y'all better hold on to your britches. Amen. Listen. He said this right here. This is all the inheritance I can give my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed. Well, I like that. I don't know about y'all. That came out of the man's last will and testament. I'd like to say tonight, Brother Ken, I may not have a whole lot of money to leave my children. I'll be honest with you, where things are looking, I may not even have a home and a business to leave them. I might not even have a watch that I could possibly leave them, but I'm glad tonight that God's gifted me with some things that I can leave my children that do them good and help them to. Let me tell you something. Done my heart good to hear my boy praying back there. He didn't say no nursery rhyme prayer neither. Hey, it wasn't no Sunday school prayer. It was a prayer from the heart. It was a prayer because he'd heard his daddy pray, Brother Ken. And he'd heard his daddy preach. And he'd seen his daddy worship the Lord. And he'd seen his daddy not be ashamed in a day where most men's afraid to preach the gospel under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. In a day when folks is ashamed when a man gets tore up in the house of God, they look around and get all embarrassed because they don't understand what's going on. Well, what are we doing this old-timey, they call it fire and brimstone, hell-bound preaching. I'm glad I got something to leave my children. I may be tearing some of these nerves up now because you'd love your children to have it a little soft and easy. Amen. I'll tell you what, I can get this as loud or louder than y'all can. Now you can help me preach a little bit. Won't hurt nothing. We might actually call heaven down tonight if we just go to meeting. Amen. Listen to this. We're changing our potentate. We've changed our path. Lord, folks tell them every which way to get to heaven. All these roads lead to heaven. All these superstars on television telling everybody, even old Curly, old Joel, he won't even claim. Old Smiley. I got news for the devil smiling tonight too. We've created all these ways to get to heaven. And there's no other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, folks. We need a people that's willing to stand. Some of you tonight, some of you men more especially, you better get you some backbone. Because if you don't stand one day, you're going to fall out. It's going to get to that point. We need to learn how to stand on what's right. We need to learn how to stand on the truth. We need to learn how to stand up against these things and quit accepting them. I'm going to tell you something. If this... Y'all young fellas around here, listen to me. All you boys of mine in here, and there's several of them. The rest of you boys his age, and all you on down, I want you to listen to me tonight. Some of y'all better start standing up for us right. I'm 52 years old. Brother Mike's about 60. Brother Ken's 50 years old. I look around here and I see Brother Randall's in his 50s. Joe's over here in his 50s. Brother Jerry up here is in his 50s. I'm looking around and I'm seeing saints of God that ain't ashamed of God, that's got backbone, don't mind standing. And some of y'all young men here tonight, I've yet to see you stand and make a stand for the Lord. I've yet to see you show any backbone. What you gonna do when we're gone? Are you gonna let the world overtake this place? Well, Brother Dennis, you don't have to holler and get all red-faced. Let me tell you something tonight. God called me to preach. God gave me the anointing to preach. I'm not trying to be like nobody. I'm just going by what God's put in my heart tonight. What happened to us when we got ashamed for a man of God to stand up and preach red-faced and just tell it like it is? That's what's wrong half of us in here tonight. Brought up under limp back preaching. Our parents and grandparents afraid to stand for what's right. Hit and miss in the church house. Didn't teach us to be dedicated to the house of God. Now we all got problems running left and right. No wonder we're wrecked. Folks say, well, you know what the world's cop out is, Brother Ken? The world says, well, it's just going to get worse and worse. The Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse. I agree with you. The Bible also says, ask, you have not because you ask not. You don't think God would continue to meet with this little house right here of people if they really wanted Him, if they really asked Him? One path. We changed our path. We changed our patriotism. Some of y'all probably don't know what patriotism is, do you? Y'all remember when we used to stand and pledge allegiance to the flag in school? Before we done that, Brother Ken, the teacher read a devotional out of King James Bible and we had prayer. And some of y'all children, some of my children, some of you younger say, what in the world's going on there? Say, what? You got to be kidding me. Why, before we start class, we've got principal coming and arresting a couple of kids. Taking some of them, putting them in detention. Well, no wonder. Look what we let happen. Some of y'all don't have a clue what patriotism is. We used to stand. We don't have a flag in here. But we used to stand, put our hand over our chest. And not this one either, by the way. I had to throw that in there. I just had to. We put our right hand over the left side of our chest. And we stood at attention. And we pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God. Under God, and we stood tall and we stood firm, and there's been many a man and women that's left the souls of this country, Brother Ken, and left behind little babies and wives and children and family, and left mamas and daddies in turmoil and went and gave their life for that flag, and people don't even know what it means anymore. We serve a generation that has a president that has no respect for our military. I ain't getting political tonight. I'm just saying we need to get a little patriotism back. What's going to happen when they come after you one day? You going to let them take you? You going to get your gun out and defend yourself and defend your country? It's going to come to that one day.
We can't believe it, can we? All we live, we got everything. We're a nation of no need. We may be about to need some. We may be about to need a lot. There's where our country's gone. You can keep that change, by the way. I'd love to have a country just like it always has been and supposed to be. You know, everybody thinks the whole country's gone liberal. The only thing that's happened is those of us that still have patriotism, we just sat down for too long and ain't said nothing. We've been the silent majority for too long. God's people, y'all stand for what's right. Why you won't let somebody, you're embarrassed to stand for what's right. I wonder how many of you, if somebody come up to you at work about 3 or 4 days and say, I heard you go down there at Liberty Baptist Church. I wonder how many of you turn red in the face and say, well, yeah. Y'all say, praise God, that's right. Got the best pastor in the whole county. And in the state, God still meets with us. We still preach out of a King James Bible. We still believe that it's the United States of America under God. We still patriots. We're still, and we'll be revolutionists if we have to. We just gonna stand up for what's right. Lord of mercy. We wonder, Brother Ken, have you ever seen a day with so many limp back men in all of your life? I know y'all probably think, Brother Dennis, you're just mean. You're just bad. You mean you an ugly thing tonight. I'm not an ugly thing tonight. I brought up to be a man. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen when the sissies take the world over, Brother Ken. Lord have mercy. I won't ever forget. Me and Vicky was in Florida somewhere on a business trip, or maybe just not me and Jake, who it was. We went out to a restaurant to eat one night, Brother Gerald. And we got noticing this little 5-6-year-old girl wandering around everywhere with a pacifier in her mouth. That's almost enough said right there, ain't it? Don't you come me if you kept your baby's pacifier till they're 6 years old and didn't take it away from them. Don't come me complaining. That little guy running all over the place, I thought, Lord, she got any parents? I raised up and I looked over her, and I seen this little old fragile man going... And the little old girl, she went over there telling Mom and Daddy what they was going to do. No, I don't want that. Well, what do you want, honey? My young'uns will tell you right quick, if that'd been them. Of course, they wouldn't have no pacifier for one thing. We gave that thing to the dog. Y'all parents that's got babies, when it's time to get rid of a bottle or a pacifier, try that. It worked with me. And I didn't tell them I'd give it to a dog. I threw it out in the yard, let a dog get a hold of it. And they thought, well, hey, dog's got it now. It's over. Y'all scared to death you're going to hurt your child by giving them a little discipline. Time out. Don't work. I don't think I ever tried it, did I, Vicky? But I don't believe it works. Number two, you keep the change. As Christians, we've changed. We've changed our priorities, folks. There was a day when God's house came first. Brother Ken, I even remember a day at Liberty Baptist Church. I've been here with Brother Ken the whole existence of this church. I remember a day when Liberty Baptist Church, when its members were more dedicated to the house of God. I do. I'm not hollering at you tonight. I'm just telling it like it is. I remember a day when we couldn't wait to get here, for one thing. You see, we had stuff going against us. We was in a storefront building with an air conditioner in the wall and half the town talking about us. Troublemakers, cult. You remember that thing, Brother Ken? We was a cult. Cult just because we believed in the old way and a new day, brother. Ain't that right? Amen. And, you know, so, we changed. There was a day when the house of God came first. I remember a day when you planned all of your things around the house of God.
I remember a day, Brother Ken, when we had revivals marked on our calendar. And if the kids had ball practice during that week, we said, now listen, you tell your coach, you can practice until 6 o'clock or 6:30, but then you got to come on and come to the house of God. Quiet. It's so quiet I can hear that baby cry. There would have been so many amens I couldn't have heard him. You see, that's why y'all scared death I'm fixing to get on you now. Y'all scared death I'm fixing to pull that light shining. Oh, not me, preacher. No, don't shine it over here at my way. Please don't shine it over at my way, preacher. Please don't go talking about my babies. Well, you go mess with some of my babies, you done messed up. I will tell you this. And I'm glad it got quiet. I used to be real serious about my children, Brother Tim, about ball practicing. Of course, some of the times I coached and I told them, I said, no, we got revival this week. We're going to practice for 5:30, 6 o'clock. Y'all go home. We're going to cut it short this week. And Brother Ken, they began to get in high school where they drove themselves to the sports. And Big said, what you going to do, big boy? You going to make a stand now? You still going to stand? I said, I don't know. This is high school sports, man. It's different. It's high school stuff. And I remember old Justin. He was the first one. He was playing baseball for Coach Davis down here, and I knew Coach Davis, good coach. He's real strict. And I said, son, you need to tell Coach Davis on Wednesdays now, you got to get out of here. You slip you on a T-shirt and some pants and come in here with sweat on you, dirt on you. I don't care, but you need to do that. Started out, he done that. Then he become a starting ball player, starting pitcher, Brother Ken. And then he come and said, Daddy, Coach Davis just wants me to stay a little bit longer. And I said, son, we got to put the house of God first. And I gave in, Brother Mike. I gave in. And I told him, I said, well, son, this is high school ball. You just go ahead and do your best to get out early. The next thing you know, he quit coming on Wednesday nights. And I ain't throwing off on my boy tonight, but where's he at? Is that what y'all want? Is that what y'all want with y'all's children? See, I ain't just hollering at you about letting your young'uns go to ball practice instead of coming to the house of God, but what you don't see is you don't see the other side. You don't see what you're teaching them and what you're showing them, because you see, they pay more attention to what you're teaching than what the pastor's teaching them. They're going to listen to the pastor and they're going to listen to the preaching. They're going to get help from it, but most of all, they're going to look at mom and daddy. Be careful. I'm not telling you how to run your house. I'm not going to tell you how to run your house. But you better be careful right there. Priorities. The house of God used to be a priority. As Christians, we've changed our principles. You know, this country's even changed its principles. This country used to have laws that were made by God-fearing men under the influence of the Word of God. We changed our principles in everyday walk, and I'm talking about Christians now. You notice I'm not talking about our country anymore, and I'm not talking about the world anymore. Used to be a day, Brother Ken, if a man or a woman was a Christian, their word was as good as their bond. You know, I've told my kids about a day when you just told a fellow something, shook his hand, it was on. They can't believe you didn't have to sign a stack of papers about that tall. Sign everything. You have no idea what you're signing. We all may one day wake up and realize none of us have a house. We better sign our house away, and we had no idea. Because you just signed. You didn't read all that. You couldn't read unless you had a sure enough education. You don't know what you've been signing. You have no idea what you've been signing away. But let me tell you something tonight. These principles of a man's word and this thing called integrity. Let me give y'all young people a little schoolhouse lesson on a word called integrity. You probably have no idea what it means. Integrity is when you start out in life and you begin to realize that you want to do things right and in an honest and a fair way. And integrity comes when you went through years and years and time after time of realizing, of doing the right thing, no matter whether it hurt you or not, no matter whether it was right in your eyes or right in God's eyes. You see, integrity is when you do things right according to the Word of God. Integrity is when you have a deal with somebody or you make a deal with somebody, you do it right and you do what you say and you do what's right in God's eyes and not in your checkbook's eyes.
Now, Justin the other day told me about a deal he had on eBay. He sold a guy a bunch of parts 2 years ago. Guy gave him $160-something, I believe that's what it was, to hold them. 2 years later, that man ain't showed up yet. Well, 2 years later, he finally called him and said, Justin, where's my stuff? He said, your stuff's gone. Your stuff's gone. He said, well, I want my money back. And he said, I ain't giving you money back. That's 2 years. He said, well, I'm going to come down there and whoop you. He said, well, come on, whoop me. Sound like his daddy. He learned it from... Lord began to deal with me. He said, Daddy, what should I do? I said, son, just give the man his money back. Give the man his money back. Is that fair today? I said, son, it don't matter whether it's fair or not. You just need to make things right. Things right with a fellow. Do what's right. I know that's not going to benefit you. It's going to benefit him. But let me tell you something. You need to do things. If you're going to be in business, you need to have integrity. Principles. Don't have many principles anymore, do we? Lord mercy, people in the church house. I believe it's all my heart, Brother Ken. More than anybody else in the community, the people in the church house ought to pay their bills. Y'all not be behind. Y'all not be writing bad checks. Y'all not owe papa people in the country. I mean, Brother Ken, shame, disgrace when another businessman about it comes up to my place of business and said, don't you go to church with so-and-so? Are they having a hard time? And I said, well, I don't know. Well, they won't pay me. What does that do for our church? We may have done knock both sides of the wall out if we just do what's right. Principles. Simple Bible principles. You see, you know what righteousness is? Ain't wearing your hair short, and shaving your beard off, and wearing long breeches year-round. I don't. From March until October, on time, you're going to catch me with a pair of long breeches that's at the house of God. But some people say, well, you ain't righteous. You wouldn't preach in my pulpit. Good. Wonderful. Lovely. I preach for a good man of God like Brother Ken. Amen. Ain't got you all strapped and buckled down. You can't even preach. Lord have mercy. Principles. Under the influence of the Word. As Christians, we've changed our prophet. Changed our prophet. What do you mean, Brother Dennis? We've gotten money crazy. We let money dictate how we live. We let the dollar dictate how we worship God, how we live, what we do. We take time away from our family because we want more. We want more and we have to work more to have more. We do this like our country and leadership's doing, spending more than what we got and getting a big tight and can't do nothing but work. We changed our profit. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And then later on it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I got thinking about this today. Brother Ken didn't know if I wanted to do this tonight, and then I got confirmation from it this afternoon. What's treasure? What is treasure? I know, I preached it before. Treasure's when you give to the house of God, and you give to the man of God, or you support a missionary, you help a family in need, and yes, you're putting your money or your earnings up in heaven, and that's good, and that's all well, but I begin to think about that, Brother Ken. That's not the only treasure that this life's all about. I begin to think about something today. I don't want to embarrass Brother Felton. But I know God wants me to do this because he hasn't called me this afternoon for no reason at all. Everybody in here that felt and invited to come to this church, please stand. Don't be embarrassed. Just stand up. Everybody that's felt and invited to come to this church, stand. Is anybody here that these other people's invited to come to church? I see two or three families that's missing tonight. Y'all know that's the way it works. Sheep begot sheep. That's treasure. Have a seat. Thank you. That's the way it's worked. I wonder if I went around and called out your name. I won't. But if I called out your name, I wonder how many would stand. You see, we're a mighty blessed people. We're mighty blessed that God saved something like us. We're mighty blessed that we're in a church like this. We're mighty blessed to even live in a country. It's still the best country in the world. If everything crashes next week, we're still in the best country in the world. We're so blessed. So why don't we share the blessing? Why don't you share that blessing with somebody else? Brother Felton, not an excellent speaker. Brother Felton don't know a whole lot of scripture. Not a preacher as far as I know. He's told some folks that all come down to Liberty. Y'all come down and see what God's doing. Well, if you got, they tell you got troubles in your life, why don't you come down here and see if you can't get some help where I got help at? What are you doing? Are you passing the blessing? That's what I started to preach tonight. Are you passing the blessing around, or are you keeping it to yourself? That's treasure. Number three, as a church, we're changing. I want to be real careful right here, because this is my church. I belong here. That's my pastor. I don't want nobody to walk away from here thinking that I'm throwing off on our church. But our church has changed. Amen, Brother Ken. Brother Mike, our church has changed. As a church, I said it earlier, we're letting the world influence us instead of us influencing the world. You know, it says right here, they committed two sins. They forsaken the fountain and replaced it with cisterns that won't hold water. We need that fountain that the Bible's talking about right here. We need a fountain of living waters coming down from heaven. Let me show you what I'm talking about right here. First of all, we've changed our preaching. Nobody wants to know the truth anymore. Nobody wants to know the truth anymore. In most churches and most preaching, the Holy Ghost has left. So they have to have programs to draw a crowd. And by the way, these churches are very successful. These churches run in hundreds and thousands of people with this type of religion. Listen to this. If we're not careful as preachers, y'all young preachers here tonight, listen to me. I'm not talking to Brother Ken or Brother Mike. Just y'all young preachers. I want you to listen to me for a minute. If we're not careful, we'll become sermon makers instead of men makers and saint makers. Let me say that again. Young preachers, listen to me tonight. If we're not careful, we'll become sermon makers and not men makers and saint makers. You see, what we'll do is we'll get a knowledge and we'll get to the point to where we'll think we've got to have everything outlined. Everything's got to be letter perfect. And we'll get to the point where we'll make some excellent sermons, but we won't get along with God. We won't pray. We won't dedicate our lives. We won't commune with God enough to the point where we can actually get a word from God that'll help the people of God. Listen. Listen, young preachers. Listen to me tonight. Dead men preach dead sermons. You got to live close to the Lord. You got to walk close to the Lord. You got to go through some things as this brother sang about tonight. You got to go through some storms and some trials that's going to drag you through the mire. And that'll cause you to get close to God because you won't have no other choice. During those storms and trials, let me tell y'all what y'all can do. This goes for Christians too. It ain't just for preachers. You can whine and moan and complain and say, woe is me. And you can pat yourself on the back and whine to everybody, wanting everybody to love on you and feel sorry for you. Or you can look in that storm, that trials he sang about tonight, and you look for the blessing. God's trying to teach you and show you something during that thing, and it's actually a good thing. I know y'all going to think I'm ignorant tonight. I know what's going on in the United States of America. I know what's coming up Tuesday. They may have it figured out now for all I know, but let me tell you something. It's going to be pretty exciting no matter which way it goes. I just wonder, Brother Ken, if this church, if everybody in this church house got up on Wednesday morning and realized every dollar they got wasn't worth nothing but burning. What if everybody in this church house got up on Wednesday morning and found out they didn't have a dime in their bank accounts or in the 401k? What if everybody got up, went out, tried to buy him a biscuit and said, your money is no good. You can't buy a biscuit. Well, I wonder what kind of meeting we'd have next week. See, y'all walking around with your chins on the ground, dragging around, not showing a bit of faith in God, a bit of trust in God, and you can't worship God. I guarantee you one thing, if this country did fall apart, our money was no good, we'd get closer to God because we'd become a people with need once again. You know what was different about us, Brother Mike and Brother Ken, in the beginning when we got down in your little study in there, we got to squalling and laying on our face, and I remember getting up, and I ain't trying to be gross, but there was a spot about that wet with tears and with snot, and I ain't prayed like that in a long time. I'm ashamed of it, Brother Ken, but I guarantee you if everything fell apart again, I'd get in that position again. God help us tonight, we're spoiled rotten. And y'all use that for an excuse and for a crutch. Well, I wish Brother Dennis had just hushed before we could go to Wendy's or Subway. I'm going to get me one more sandwich in case everything falls apart. My money may not be no good tomorrow. Let's go to Applebee's. Put this whole place up, Applebee's, that'd be open about 3 o'clock in the morning, wouldn't it? Let's just go to old Charlie's. Well, Brother Dennis, it just don't matter. It ain't going to do no good, Brother Dennis. It's just going to get worse and worse. Yeah, we're a quiet crowd now. Just wait a year from now. We're going to get it. I got news for you. I don't believe that. Oh, no, I don't believe that not one bit. Preaching. We changed our praying. Lord, I said it earlier, folks, we have not because we ask not. Y'all just like me. You slack up on your praying when you don't have any need. God may be He may be fixing to do us one of the biggest favors He's ever done us. And those of you that's grown in here, mature in the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. The best God was ever to you in your life is when you had the hardest time in your life. The best God ever smiled on you, and the more, oh Lord, who preached that message about that light and that darkness? Brother Dana. Lord, the brightest the light of the Lord's ever shined to you is when you was in your darkest time. I see a bunch of heads nod. Y'all young people, look around, all these people nodding tonight. The brightest the Lord ever got to you is when it was the darkest. Oh, but we get all tore up in the darkness thinking it's all about us. It's not all about us, it's all about Him. You see, He's going to get the glory. He will get the glory. You know, we got a choice whether we give Him the glory or not. He'll get us to the point where He'll give Him the glory. I remember Daddy used to get us down, Mike. He used to get me and Gerald down and tell us to holler calf rope. You remember that, Jerry? He gets down. I ain't hollering no calf rope. He'd put me in a headlock and I'd say, calf rope! Sometimes I think that's what the Lord's doing to us here. We're so mighty blessed and we've had it so mighty good, and he maybe even put us in an old headlock and squeeze a little bit. Holler calf rope, boy. Well, Lord help us. We've changed our praising. We've gotten to the point where we're ashamed to praise God. The Laodicean church age, the power of the people. We've taken our focus off of God and put it on the people. There's a term been used all my life. To be honest with you, it almost makes me sick now. Well, I've come to the house of God tonight to get a blessing. That's power of the people. Did you come to the house of God and not see what you could get? Your attitude's all wrong. Y'all come to bless the Lord. The Bible says even bless the name of the Lord, Brother Mike, as you was talking about that. Bless the name of the Lord. Y'all come to bless the Lord, not to come to get a blessing, come to be a blessing. Find somebody in the church house going through a hard time. Go to them before church. Go to them after church. Ask if you can help them. Tell them you're praying for them. Be a blessing. It's all about being a blessing. It's all about passing a blessing and sharing a blessing. It's not about seeing what you can get. You see, that's the church of the age of the land of sin church house. And that's what's wrong with us now. You think it's all about you. You think it's got to go the way you want it to. If it ain't loud enough and you like it loud, you walk out of here disappointed. If it ain't quiet enough, you walk out of here disappointed because you think it was too loud. They didn't sing you. They didn't brag on you. They didn't tell what you done last week. They didn't say happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Have a tallest song leader contest and a skinniest song leader contest. Is that what you want, circus? All about me, preach. What you got for me? What you got for my children? Why don't we get your children here and see what they've got for the Lord? Won't you quit seeing what God's got for you to see what you got for Him? He got something He wants you to do. But you gotta have backbone. You can't be flim-flammed around by the world every time. You gotta finally learn how, well, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm fixing to dig me out a spot. Oh, listen to me, young man, tonight. You've been on my heart all day long. Yo, young man, they dig you out a spot. You need to get yourself planted. You need to say, hey, preacher, I'm standing my ground. I'm gonna be a man that you preached about tonight. I'm gonna stand with a man of God. I'm gonna stand for that book. I'm gonna stand for what's right. I'm gonna stand for my country. I'm gonna stand for a flag. I'm gonna stand for freedom. I'm gonna stand for my neighbor. I'm gonna stand for my brother. I'm gonna stand for my sister. Whether it benefits me or not, I'm going to stand. You say you could leave a legacy to your children that you was the kind of man that would stand for what's right. Said it before, we got so many limp backs now. I don't know what's going to happen, Brother Ken. I'll be honest with you. Never seen so many feminine men in my life. I hope ain't none of y'all young boys got them, what you call them things, women? Capris. Woo! Me and Jake, we go down to about Orlando buying cars a lot. And the fashion's hit there before they do here. Brother Ken, there's young men down there wearing capris. With their legs shaved. Coach Prater, I remember when y'all first started wrapping my ankle. You said you need to go home and shave your ankle. I'm going to wrap it tomorrow. I thought, well, nobody see my ankle shave, so I shaved up about right here. I don't know if it was you or which coach it was, but I sat up there and you said, you're going to hate this, son. And they put that little athletic tape on there and made me a cast. Soon after practice, I went to get me a shower and I started taking that off and woo-wee. I should have shaved because it was all gone when I jerked that tape out. I didn't want nobody to see me and my legs shaved. So, Lord, we wore capris at football, but I mean, I just football uniform. Amen? You'll catch me wearing them out here to the shopping mall out to eat. Capris. Y'all daddies, if y'all... Brother Chris, if she comes home with that boy a pair of capris, you better stand up and pitch a fit, son. Y'all daddies need to get involved in these boys' fashions, amen? These women turn sissies out of them, because that's all they know, they're sissies. Women are supposed to be sissies. Lord mercy, I don't got... Okay, I'm chasing rabbits, preacher. I'm thinking, it's fun, though. Lord, we worried about praising God. We afraid people's going to embarrass us. I've been sitting in a choir. I wasn't here this morning. I was away preaching, by the way. I done set up in the choir right up in here to make room for our visitors. And I got noticing some of y'all, all these visitors here. Brother David, I believe, got all tore up. Praise God. Some of y'all's going, oh, we got visitors here. Ashamed. What are you ashamed of? You can keep a change. I'm glad I'm going to a church that's in the old way and a new day, Brother Ken. There's some things we need to change, folks, but there ain't nothing in this book that needs to be changed. If we need to change, we need to go back to where we was instead of trying to go forward and improve things. Free, Brother Ken. Brother Mike.